This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
Peter has nothing interesting to say.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to ENN on a spirited Tuesday evening in New York City on 98.7 ESPN. I'm Peter Rosenberg at Rosenberg Radio on Twitter and Instagram. And I'll start off by saying good evening to at Don LaGreca.
Don and Peter with you until 7, and then we are going to have the great Brewers-Pirates game coming up at 7 o'clock.
Lost in the greatness of that drop is how much of just an absolute kneel-down by our station it is that we were going to air the Brewers-Pirates in the first place, Don.
Can't do that anymore, man. Not with a guy like Chris Carlin at 7 o'clock.
Oh, thank goodness. You can't take that. That's just running it. That's New Year's Eve, and we're just going to go dead air, run a rerun of Amen. Yeah, underrated show, by the way.
That is don't tell me from the Jeffersons, right?
Sherman Helmsley vehicle.
Yeah,
that's right.
Wasn't he a judge?
No, Amen. He was a preacher, or a
makes
reverend.
Sense.
A reverend.
Well, what was he? He was something as a judge.
He
as well.
Was a judge in something too. I feel.
I got to look that up. Yeah, we a couple of things that we forgot yesterday, Peter, or at least I forgot to bring up. One specifically, the loss of Charlie Daniels.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a big Charlie Daniels fan, but I know he's his status and the
come
devil
on
went down
to Georgia. You didn't like Devil Went Down to Georgia?
I like it. I think it's. It's not like I never got it as much as other people did, but I know how impactful it was and how weird and cool and different a song it is.
Well, I got to tell you, and I've tweeted this out before. The thing about that song that always irritated me, I think the devil did a better job with the fiddle. I think he should have won the contest.
Wow, this is a scorching hot take.
Listen, if you get a second, listen to the song and tell me that the devil's solo isn't better.
I'm just glad Charlie's not here to hear this from you. You know,
you don't think that's something on. You know me.
You'll say it right to his face when you get up there.
I've called people frauds: Larry David a fraud, Kevin James a fraud, Billy Crystal a fraud. That's like the hat trick of call out frauds.
It's a really great point by you, Don.
You don't think Charlie Daniels on, I wouldn't give you that point?
Yeah, you'd say it right to his face.
And I think we'd have an interesting conversation.
By the way, I have a tendency to be too – I have a little too much you in me also. I was interviewing Edge last week, a great, great WWE superstar, Hall of Famer, awesome. And he's back right now. He's actually injured at this moment, but I interviewed him for the first time on Cheap Heat. By the way, go subscribe to Cheap Heat if you love or have ever loved wrestling or just enjoy hearing me pontificate on random things. Search for Cheap Heat wherever you find podcasts and listen to it. But I interviewed Edge, and yeah, I felt obligated to tell him as I was praising his last match at Backlash, which I thought was great. When we talked about his WrestleMania match, I said, I got to admit, I thought it was a bit long. Which I just felt obligated to say it because I'd said it when he wasn't there. But then I kind of feel bad. Is it too much? Is it too much information?
But this is what, you know, life is. This is an interview. That's what interviews are supposed to be about. How would it look if you went public and said you thought it was too long, but then you don't mention it to him? I mean, it's not a promo. You want to give your opinion. That's what we're here to do.
But at the same time, sometimes you say, you know, did you see Mary's dress the other day? Red is not her color. She should not wear a red dress. You don't have to see her and go, Mary, I got to tell you, that dress is putrid. Now, you might be saying, but Don, you do that to Andrew every day on our calls.
But wait a minute. I'm not saying I would interview Charlie Daniels and say, Charlie, it's nice to have you on. Have you thought about losing a few pounds? No, that's not good interviewing. But if you're talking about one of his iconic songs and have the opinion that you believe that the devil did a better job,
that's true.
That's intriguing. That's fun.
That's good.
And you know what? Maybe he would admit, you know what? thanks for listening, Don. You're the first person to pick up on that. I was really hoping people would think that. Maybe he was trolling the song himself.
So, speaking of things you'd have to say to someone's face, I'd have to say to DeSean Jackson if I saw him, hey, D-Jax, you know, I got to tell you, you misquoted. First of all, you tried to quote Hitler. Bad idea. Second of all, you misquoted Hitler. Third of all, it came, you know, in succession. Yeah,
what's worse than quoting Hitler? Misquoting Hitler.
And then you were first quoting Farrakhan, then you went Hitler. If you're trying to make Jews feel super comfortable and welcome, this probably isn't the best approach. Now, DeSean, of course, has been widely called out, condemned by his team, the Eagles. And we have apology audio. I haven't heard this yet, Don, have you?
No.
Let's hear DeSean Jackson's apology.
I've been getting a lot of backlash and feedback from an Instagram post that I put on my my Instagram story. I just want to, you know, first off, extend an apology on the behalf of me and what I stand for, because, you know, I'm one that's fair, and I never want to put any race down or any people down. And, you know, my post was definitely not intended for anybody of any race to feel any type of way, especially the Jewish community. When I posted, I definitely didn't mean it to the extent that you guys took it. And I just wanted to let you guys know that I'm, you know, very apologetic, and I just want you guys to understand that it never was intended to be, you know, to put any race down or any religion down.
I'm not saying that he's not sorry. I believe he probably is, but A, that's just not great, and B, but what did you think, man? What did you think? A, not only was it Hitler, but it talked about the Jews' plan to extort America, their plan for world domination. You know, it's and specifically, this made up quote was about how, you know, the Jews' plans to take over America is inherently bad for black people, blah, blah, blah. It was not only anti-Semitic, but sort of pitting black people against Jews. It was horrible. I don't know what you would have thought it was.
See, why are we even taking the time to give him the benefit of the doubt? You know, I'm not saying throw him away, that he's a useless human being, but listen, just it's bad. And if you're somebody out there that thinks it's unforgivable, I can't blame you. I mean, come on. We try to give people a break. If you want a break, then say, listen, I had no idea those quotes were from Hitler. It's ridiculous that I did that. I'm taking it down. I'm really sorry. Don't start. I didn't mean this. I mean, you probably meant it. You probably meant what you said, and now you're being forced to apologize for. You even said the backlash. So if it had left up there, and then for whatever reason he decided, I'm never going to go on Twitter again, and he didn't hear the backlash, then he would think that's perfectly fine. Then there's backlash. Not, it came to my attention that what I did was 100% completely wrong and hateful. It was, oh, I got backlash. I don't buy it. I don't buy his apology. I don't buy his game. I just think people need to be held accountable for what they say and do, Peter, in every walk of life. And people are being held accountable every single day, right? I am sure, and we even had Bomani Jones on to say this about Grant Napier, that Grant Napier probably was a little ignorant and not completely educated on the subject of Black Lives Matter when he tweeted out All Lives Matter. He lost his job. But because it's DeSean Jackson, because, you know, it's not the current climate, or because he's a professional football player, that he shouldn't get backlash for it? Grant Napier didn't even get a chance to apologize. He got fired. And I'm not saying that that's right or wrong. That's what that company decided to do with Grant Napier for what he did. But come on, it's just it's hateful. It's despicable. Do you think it should be tolerated for any race?
I get the amount of current, like, vitriol and hate that I'm getting, Don. I'm used to it. I've gotten it for a long time, okay, from all sides. I know people who listen to this show think that only a certain segment of the population hates me. I get anti-Semitism from people who listen to Hot 97. I get people who think I'm just this left-wing lunatic who listen to this show. Total, I get so much different hate from every side. It's there's so much, and so it's just disturbing whenever I see this anti-Semitic stuff, it's so frustrating and upsetting.
We went to war because of this guy.
You'd think that would make it clear.
I mean, there's just so much going on in the world right now. Just it's so aggravating to me. But if you want to be outraged by it, I think, listen, you're in a different situation than I am. You are a Jew, right? So I got to kind of follow your lead on like how you feel about it. I can't tell you you're wrong. Well, who am I? I can't put myself in your shoes. But I could tell what hate is.
And I strongly feel that people are allowed to be offended by things regardless of what the group feels. Just like our conversation about Native Americans. We could find indigenous people who are good with the Redskins name and logo, and I'm sure they exist. I am still allowed to say, now I can't tell you how to feel. Certainly, and I cannot remotely relate to what's happened to Native Americans. Which is just one of the true stains in this country's history, the original sin of this country, that and slavery. But I can tell you, as a fan of that team, I think the name should be gone, and I don't think they should do anything that could be deemed as anything related to exploiting or offending indigenous people. And we're allowed to have that opinion. It doesn't mean we make the decision, but anyone's allowed to have the take and be offended. Anyone could be offended by bigotry, whether you're a part of the group or not. If we've learned anything from the last couple of months, Don, it's how important it is for people who are not a part of a group to be offended by bigotry towards that group. So we'll see how things play out from here for DeSean Jackson. Bradley Beal is out for the remainder of the season with a right rotator cuff injury. He did everything to get ready, but we talked about, you know, I've said here several times that this Wizards team was not very good this year, right? And really, I didn't see them having a chance to make a run. We flirted with the idea of them winning out and the Nets losing out. Don, no Bradley Beal, you could pretty much eliminate that conversation.
Now, does this mean other Wizards might now reconsider too? Because their chances are even less now?
That's an interesting point. Something like we've seen with the Nets.
I mean, I really do believe, and I'm not saying that the concerns the Nets have aren't legitimate. You know, as we've seen, Dinwiddie's not going to play too. I think it's official now.
It is. Yeah, we'll get to that in a second.
A lot of it has to do with the fact that, come on, their chances are slim. Would Dinwiddie have played if he was a Laker? I don't want to put him. I don't want to put him in a box there, but boy, it just seemed like a lot of Nets were jumping ship once it was confirmed that Durant and Kyrie weren't going to come back and play.
Yeah, and of course, we were talking a few weeks ago about Bertan, who's already out for the Wizards as well. So they're down a couple of players. Beal, their best player, and averaging 30 points, career high, 30 points, 6 assists. So that's a major loss for a team that was already 24-40 and unlikely to make the playoffs regardless.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Lamar Jackson is holding an event in Florida in spite of the fact that there is a huge spike in COVID cases. He's going to go ahead with his third annual Fun Day with LJ event. A whole new wrinkle to it this year now with having to avoid COVID. It's in Pompano Beach.
Did you say Pompano?
Pompano? How do you say it?
Is it Pompano?
Pompano. That's right. Yep. I knew when I said it was wrong, but I didn't remember what the way to say it was. Oh, shut up. I don't care.
No, you care when I'm correcting you. That's a really bad day.
Pompano. It's a horrible. I'm going to Miami Beach. I'm going to South Beach. All right, that's the beach I've been to down there. It's in Pompano Beach. Damn it!
All right, we're gonna hear that one again. That might make a run, right, RJ? That could find its way into the Peter bracket and make a deep run. No,
it's in Pompano Beach. Now, I guess it's important to know how strongly people feel about Pompano. Is it that common a name where it can stand the test of time in the tournament? It's hard to say. RJ, did you get a chance to put in my Marshawn Lynch audio today or no?
Is that right?
I have this clip that I saw. So, Don, let me just give you the context for that drop, which I now love. It's a skit that happened that I had never seen of Marshawn Lynch attempting to guess what British slang means. So they reveal the words, and then he takes a guess, and then he he swipes an iPad, and the definition comes out. And the one he was asked was, "How's your father?"
Is that right?
And I've always heard that. I know that phrase only from the Austin Powers movie. Okay, I don't know if you remember the line.
Yes, now that you said that, I didn't until you said it was in Austin Powers.
So he's sitting there trying to guess, and he's kind of thinking about it. And then when he swipes the iPad, he looks at it, and it says sex. And his reaction is,
"Is that right?"
And I just loved it. I just feel like that's useful for so many. Someone says something crazy, it's such a good default drop.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's right, Marshawn. Oh, I love Marshawn so much. Thanks, RJ. I told you guys a while ago that Ballard had told me this story about his hero in life and beloved man crush, Aaron Rodgers.
Ballard.
Showing up to Kettle of Fish in the Village, one of, if not the, and maybe probably now certainly, the biggest Packer bar in the city. Not in size, because not a huge bar, but really popular. And now, A-Rodg has gone a step further. Not only did he show up to Kettle of Fish last year, but now the owner, Patrick Daly, told the New York Post that they were absolutely thrilled because Aaron Rodgers jumped on social media and posted the GoFundMe link to save Kettle of Fish, which has been around since 1950. It was a hangout for the likes of Dylan, Norman Mailer, Kerouac. And then Daly, who was an employee, bought the bar from its original owners. And it's become a go-to spot for Packers fans. Ballard goes all the time. I'd say half the season he spends his Sundays there, probably half the weeks watching Packers games there. It's a full-fledged Packer bar. It's a great bar. I've enjoyed it as well. And A-Rodg went on there and posted the link. And now I believe, let me see the number, I think now they're up to $62,000.
Nice.
Of the $100,000 that they're trying to reach.
Let's face it, if he's that invested, if they come up short, can't you see Rodgers just saying, "All right, I'll take care of the rest. You're good."
And that's it. See, now you're putting more pressure on. But you know what? It's a great point, Eddie. Might as well.
Yeah, I mean, you're so invested in trying to get something started. Say they come up, you know, 10,000 short.
If they come up short day of, how does he not take a look? Yeah. Oh, sorry, turns out they closed. Yeah, I mean, it's a great point. Dwight Howard says he'll join the Lakers in Orlando for the restart. There were some question marks about that.
Yep.
It had been in question for a while. But he says, "I feel like we have a great opportunity to win the title." And he said he's also donating his salary to the charitable initiative Breathe Again. So, cool move by Dwight Howard. Hey, let's hear from Aaron Judge, who says he's ready to go.
I'm game ready. Like I told you guys in spring training, I was going to be ready for opening day. So I'm feeling good. I'm not really, you know, the biggest thing now is just getting the reps in, you know, because I missed so many at-bats in the spring training we had. I didn't get all the reps in the outfield, reps on the bases. So for me right now, it's just about getting my timing back in the game and just getting my game reps so we can, you know, go out there for the 60 game.
So the question is, how many games will he play? Mm. Let's say the Yankees are in – let's say every game is meaningful. They don't run away. They're going to need every game. How many games does he play?
You're asking me right now?
Yeah, you bet.
How many I think Aaron Judge will play this year?
Yes. If every game is needed. Because I don't think he'll play. If they're running away with the division, he'll get days off.
If every game is needed, I am predicting Aaron Judge will play 53 games. He'll have a little something where he misses two to three games.
Well, see, I wasn't going there with him getting
hurt.
You're
saying again. Just resting.
I'm just saying from an analytics standpoint, will he get, like, natural days off?
I would hope they'd only give a few of those.
That's why I think 50 – if he's healthy, I could 56? See 56. Because, really, that would – how many weeks are going to be in the season, right? They're playing – they're starting in – so there's a week in July, 4 weeks in August, 4 weeks in September, right? So they're playing 9 weeks. So if he takes off one day a week, that's 51 – I think that would be a little much, right, for him to take off a game a week. So, yeah, 56.
If you're a Yankee fan, you take that right now. Based on what we've got in the last few years, who doesn't take that?
Oh, but if he gets hurt again, then he becomes – then every question you've ever had about Carson Wentz, you can have about Aaron Judge.
Absolutely.
And I
hate that. I hate that it's true, but it is.
You know,
and they're similar. They're similar players in that, like, they're potentially so iconic for their respective franchises.
And Michael
Aaron Judge,
the
basically
point.
The quarterback of the Yankees. Sorry, Doug.
You know, and Michael was making the point. Well, one of the times he was out was he got hit by a pitch. That's not his fault. I get it, but you know, he's gotten hurt going into the wall, diving head first. I mean, the guy plays 100%. He's got a kind of body where when he dives, you're going to hold your breath. If he slides into third base, you're holding your breath. Play at the plate, you're holding your breath. Sorry. That's just the way that it is. That's injuries. They happen.
All right, Don. The NFL PA president, J.C. Treader, has escalated his disagreement with the NFL over the terms of training camp and the preseason amid the pandemic, writing a blog post that the league is, quote, unwilling to prioritize player safety and believes that the virus will bend to football. The NFL solidified plans last week to cut the preseason in half to down to two and create a 23-day acclimatization period. How's that? Acclimate, because it's acclimate. It's acclimate, but no, the word is there's an azation in it.
Acclimatization. How would you say it?
Acclimatization.
Yes.
Acclimatization.
That is an awkward word to say.
Pompano. Got it. I'll get there. But there's a 23-day period for them to get adjusted in training camp and to account for the likelihood that players will show up a little less prepared than usual.
So their only concern there, like, it's coronavirus adjacent with their concern.
Right.
Because of the coronavirus, these guys might not come in as physically prepared as normal, which means they might get Achilles injuries, hamstring injuries, and that concerns the NFL. Why? Because then those players aren't able to play. So it's not we're cutting down the preseason in half because we're going to cut down the opportunities for these guys to tackle in a meaningless game and contract the coronavirus. No. It's they might not be physically ready to play those games, and then they can get hurt and not be ready for the regular season because, correct me if I'm wrong, Peter, these are just machines, not human beings.
Right. So they're not really saying, hey, we're worried that people are going to have coronavirus, and knowing that. Let's be smart, and based on what we're seeing from other sports, we're just going to go ahead and assume that some of these players are going to get COVID. No. This is just, they may not be in football shape, so we got to get them in football shape.
Right, and it's the typical NFL, which I love, which Peter loves, but let's face it, there's a level of arrogance where whatever they decide to do, it works, so they'll just... I'm sure Goodell will place a phone call and coronavirus will disappear in time for camps to start. And how much do they really care about the well-being of their players when here's a sport that seems to try to get rid of concussions because they got so many lawsuits and they care so much about the players are going to get rid of the kickoff and all that, but a chance to have an 18-game schedule, let's do it. Play every Thursday, so the teams have to play on a Sunday and then have to possibly play on the road and play like 3 days later? No, we're good with that.
Of course. God, can you imagine, too, if the NFL ended up in a situation where they were trying to rush things and squeeze things in, how many bad decisions they'd make in terms of player health and safety, considering Thursday Night Football is already a disaster. They'd end up having the they'll play twice a week. They'll be fine.
I really think the smart thing for the NFL to do is really think about delaying the start, because we're looking at Dr. Fauci saying that we are knee-deep in the first stage. So when I see knee-deep, that I think that's another way of saying we're kind of in the thick, like we're in the in the middle of this, which means the possibility that October and November, this is going to spike back up again. Well, what's going to be happening in October, November? We're going to be right in the middle of the NFL season. And what are players going to do? Well, players are going to play. Why? Because NFL players always play because their career is so short. And outside of the quarterbacks and a couple of skill position players, they make relatively, compared to the rest of the country, a lot of money. But in sports in general, not a ton. So is that important offensive lineman on his rookie deal, you know, going to want to miss an entire season because he's afraid of the coronavirus or getting his family sick or his wife is pregnant or maybe he has underlying symptoms because he's a 325-pound offensive lineman? He can't afford to walk away from that money and then blow out his Achilles the next year and then and with almost no guaranteed money be out of a job, out of a career. The football players are not in the same position that basketball, hockey, and baseball players are in. Basketball and hockey are finishing their seasons. It's a relatively short period of time, and baseball is playing a 60-game schedule that's going to be over in 9 weeks. The NFL is prepared to have a 17-week regular season plus postseason, plus squeeze in two preseason games. They're going to be working from the end of July until the end of December. And yet they're going to be the one player that can't walk away because they can't afford to.
Now, let's go back. It's been 1 year, Don, since this happened.
Penalty. It's Rapinoe against Van Veenendaal. It's 1-0. The USA 1, the Netherlands 0.
Now, sometimes I look back and I go, man, time really flies. Like, you know, I can't believe my birthday is coming up again. In the case of that, I feel like that was even longer ago. I almost can't believe it was just a year ago.
Yeah, I'm with you. And one of the things, underrated things I miss about being in the studio with everybody is those moments when Andrew and Peter are really into some, like, international soccer game.
If you're not watching USA Soccer, then you're a moron.
And, you know, Andrew's trying to produce and Peter's trying to do a show and, like, you're fighting through it and then commercial break happens and you jump up and you're staring at the TVs. Like, I miss that.
It is a lot of fun. I know. And Andrew and I have our talk back a lot during moments like that. The talk back with Andrew in general, it's so weird that I'm now this used to just not communicating with Andrew during the show.
Well, hey there.
All I get is, like, an occasional, you know, I get an occasional text message, but that's it.
Yeah, and we have our FaceTime meeting.
I try every day.
For like 20 minutes before the show, and that's when we see him.
And I'm so distracted by his hair these days that it's...
Well, he's not trying. I mean, there's a lot of give up in Andrew. Not with the show, but just his look.
Don't you agree?
It's not fair.
My hair, if you see my hair when I wake up, I look like a troll doll.
Right.
You know, because my hair is...
And I'm jealous.
You know how beautiful my hair is, but you know, when... But you try to clean up for the public, but Andrew's like, nah, never mind. He's married to a gorgeous woman, has his family, it's done.
But I mean,
Andrew might be in a position to let himself go when he gets older. That's the attitude I have now, that the fact that he can let himself go like that as a young man, when he hits his 50s and 60s, he's not going to care.
God hates me.
That's the worrisome part. That's what you worry about. And that'll
black
do it.
Black socks and sandals.
Oh, yeah, I could see it. Just like Eagles championship shirts that are, you know, at that point, 30 years
like
old.
Not even championship shirts. You know, like maybe he'll pull out
division.
Like the NFC East champion T-shirt or, you know, divisional round. Eagles divisional round.
You know, this stain here, this was a really important one. I got this one. This is a really good one.
He has to break down everyone's stains. It would be really sad.
Oh, that's what I think is going to happen. Next 20 years are going to be very interesting for Andrew.
That will do it for ENN.
I enjoyed that. There was a lot of – we were serious, very important discussion.
That's right.
There was comedy, education.
Some mistakes were made.
Some mistakes were made and corrected by people that never correct anybody's mistake.
It's in Pompano Beach.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.